Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. None of us will ever forget this day. Yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. Thank you.
Welcome back to Leading with Sense. I'm Tim, your host. And today's episode, we are going to be talking about Money Marching Order Number 2, which is your Helmet Emergency Fund. If this is your first time tuning in to listen, take some time and go back and listen to the previous 5 episodes. These first series of episodes, they're going to build on each other. You know, I describe my why, I describe the Money Marching Order steps, and then I cover some stuff in Money Marching Order Number 1, which is stop and get your head count. And my last episode covered the most important part of that, which is your life insurance. So we covered life insurance with a former licensed financial advisor who gave us some insight on how the different financial institutions push whole life insurance and what are some good alternatives, which is term life insurance. So go out and check it. Go back and check out that episode. We'll have a couple more parts from that interview that I did. Again, we did over 2 hours worth of content. I'm going to chop that up a little bit into a multi-part series. So there'll be more from that interview to come. But today, like I said, I'm going to be covering Money Marching Order Number 2, which is your Helmet Emergency Fund. Now, I'm not sure what your perspective is, but my perspective is that this COVID pandemic has really solidified the need for emergency savings, liquid emergency savings. So I'm not sure where you were before the pandemic and where you are after the pandemic. You know, we're starting to come on the other side of this now. But hopefully this was a rude awakening. This was a rude wake-up call that you need an emergency fund of some sort, that bad shit is going to happen and it's completely out of your control, completely. You know, I'm recording this episode on February 27th, 2021. This day last year, 1 year ago today, I was in an interview for an airline. I did everything right. I did everything within my control. I prepared the best that I could. I went to the conventions, got in front of the recruiters. I prepped, I studied, I prepped, I studied. I did what I had to do and ultimately was successful in my interview and was offered a position with a growing airline. 1 month later, that all fucking changed, didn't it? Again, through no fault of my own, I had to shift my focus. I had to go to plan B, whatever that was. I didn't know at the time. I thought it was a done deal when I got offered the position. So this is just a short anecdotal story saying no matter your effort, no matter how deliberate you are, something will and can go wrong. So you have to be ready. You know, luckily for a lot of people that are following these programs, and for me during this pandemic, I was more of a spectator than I was a participant, right? So what I mean by this is I didn't have any debt to pay off. I had my emergency savings set aside. I was putting money towards retirement and throwing down extra on the house. And I continued to do this even through the pandemic while the market was down, you know. And because I was consistent over time and in a position where I didn't have to stop, you know, my investments had really good returns, really great returns, because I was in the position to continue investing, to continue what I was doing at the time, because I put myself in a position to have savings, no debt, and to be consistent. Again, this is about behavior. This is not about head knowledge of what stocks to invest in, though that is part of it, is largely behavior. I know some people listening kind of know my story. I've talked about it a little bit, and I'm sure people are going to think, because I was in the military at the time of the pandemic, that, your employment wasn't impacted. But you have to remember, I transitioned last year. I transitioned during COVID out of the military. I pressed forward with my transition plan regardless of COVID. The only reason why I pushed a couple months was because my first job and my primary job offer was put on ice. So I had to come up with plan B and figure out what to do next. So I needed more time to do that. It wasn't because I was scared of COVID, because I wasn't ready financially or anything like that. It was just a matter of what am I going to do now? So this is where I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get you to be a spectator in financial hardship. I'm trying to get you to be a spectator so you can help others in times of need. Because when shit hits the fan, you want to be a spectator. You don't want to be a participant or a victim. Speaking of victim, by and large, there is a victim mentality today in personal finance. There's a thought that the little man, the average Joe, the junior enlisted can't get ahead, or that something happened to you instead of you happening to it. You know, you had a situation that you felt was out of your control and you weren't ready. So use that as an excuse for your current situation. Well, I'm broke because this happened. No, you're not. You're broke because you weren't ready, because you were upliving your lifestyle, overspending, and not paying attention to what you were doing. Stop being a victim and start being the author of your own story. Again, this is behavior. This is a mindset. This is not a socioeconomic class. This is not a rank in the military. And this is not what the minimum wage is set to, or what the government is going to provide you for stimulus for whatever. This is on you. There's plenty of tools out there for you to succeed. So why do I talk about this when I talk about emergency savings? Because again, emergency savings is largely a mindset. It is not an investment, right? So you are self-insuring against emergencies. Historically, year after year after year, the United States has one of the lowest personal savings rates in the world. And what I mean by this is the percentage of your income that stays in your account, either in the form of an investment, savings, not consumer spending. So the amount of your paycheck that does not go towards consumer spending. And right now in the United States, I found a couple different numbers, anywhere from 39 to 51% of households in the United States today can't cover a $1,000 emergency with emergency savings. And if I had to speculate, which is, this is my show, so I can, if I had to speculate, I would say that in large, the military savings rate is probably lower. And the reason why I speculate that is because being in the military, I know what the mindset is. I know what's out there. There's the mindset of that your paycheck is guaranteed, so to speak. That no matter what, unless you royally screw up, your paycheck will come in on the 1st and the 15th of every month. So why do you need emergency savings? Well, I remember this one time not too long ago in 2019 when the Coast Guard didn't get paid. Congress, again, way above the Coast Guard, way out of the Coast Guard's control, Congress decided they weren't going to agree on a budget and there was no resolution in place for the Department of Homeland Security. So over 42,000 Coast Guard members didn't get paid, and more DHS employees on top of that didn't get paid. We saw record numbers of government workers going to food banks and taking out credit and personal loans for expenses. And again, I know a lot of people are going to say, but Tim, they're not in the military, but they still work for the government. And so does the Department of Defense. So if you think the Department of Defense is 100% safe from that, you know, I would say that people thought that the personnel protecting our borders and DHS didn't think they'd go without a paycheck, but they did. At the time I was flying back from Iraq on commercial air, I went through Dulles Airport and I was just making small talk with the guy at customs. And I said, "Hey, how's it going?" Just not even thinking about it. And he candidly said, "Well, it's going not great. I'm not getting paid right now. Haven't got paid in a couple of weeks. But other than that, I guess it's okay." And I completely forgot that that was even going on. I was a little out of touch because I was out of the country, but just something to think about. You know, if you're in the military, you are kind of at the mercy of the government. If some hiccup happens, a budget's not passed, you might not get paid. It's happened. It's never happened to the Department of Defense, but I never thought it would happen to DHS. I never thought it would happen to the Coast Guard. Another story for you. Back in 2016, my dad got pretty sick. He had lived an unhealthy lifestyle for a long time, and I needed to go home. I needed to take leave and go home. I was still getting paid while I was there, but I had so many out-of-pocket expenses for, you know, hotels if I needed it, for gas, for food, you know, things outside my normal budget that I needed to tap into my emergency fund for again. And I was able to sustain myself for a period of about 30 to 45 days to be there for my dad. So income replacement is part of the emergency fund, but it's not all of it, right? If something happens and you have to take a trip to help out a family member, to help a friend, you're going to have some additional expenses that you're not used to. So you're going to be able to cover some of those. Anyway, I digress. So if only 39 to 51% of people can cover an emergency with emergency savings, how do you think the rest of the population is going to cover $1,000 in emergency? How are they going to pay for it? Well, credit cards are usually the first thing people reach for if they have an emergency. I know we've heard it. People say, well, I'm not going to use my credit card unless I have an emergency. And then I have a line of credit of whatever. Which, if we stop and think about that for a second, okay, so I don't have any savings or don't have enough savings. I have an emergency event, so I'm going to go borrow money. It's basically what you're doing. I'm going to go borrow money at the worst possible time I can to help myself out, and I'll worry about it later. It's basically what they're saying. And then from there, after the credit cards, they would turn to friends and family for help. That can put a strain on your relationships. And also, if you surround yourself with people who may not be good with money, you know, they may not have enough to help you out. So relying on friends and family is not good. And then also you have to pay that back, and that changes the dynamic of your relationship 100%. And then above that, we're starting to see a larger percentage of people say that they would start curtailing their spending in certain categories in order to deal with emergencies. So I think the savings rates are getting better. I think with the pandemic, it brought to light for a lot of people what's important to spend on and what's not, and that having debt often hurt them, right? And how important emergency savings are. I have covered the need for your emergency fund. Now I'm going to actually talk about the money marching order number two, the helmet emergency fund. In this step, we are going to save up enough money in our savings account to cover the amount of your largest deductible. And we want to do this as quickly as you can. So the amount of your largest deductible capped at $2,000. If your deductibles are more than $2,000, you may need to reevaluate your deductibles. Again, this is not a cumulative deductible. This is your largest. So if you have a $500 car and a $1,000 homeowner, you'll save $1,000 because $1,000 is your largest deductible. And I want your minimum balance in the step to be $1,000. So if you only have a car and you only have a $500 deductible, I want you to put $1,000 in your savings account. So if you have more savings than your largest deductible, but you have a consumer debt above that, we're going to use that in the next money marching order. So we'll be bringing down your savings from whatever number it is, let's say 20,000, down to the amount of your largest deductible between $1,000 and $2,000. So again, this is your helmet emergency fund, because if you go ride your bike, if you go to the range, if you fly a helicopter, you're at least going to be wearing your helmet to keep your noggin safe while you're doing whatever it is that you're doing. And what we are going to be doing is working to get out of consumer debt, which will be in the next step. But I need to have something in savings to prevent you going further into debt while we are paying off debt. So that is the purpose of this. It's not meant to be comfortable. It's not meant to be somewhere to hang out. We're reducing your savings temporarily, your non-retirement savings, so we can throw as much as we can at the debt and then cover small emergencies on our way out. Later on, we will come back to our emergency fund and we'll add our body armor. Again, when you go to battle, you're going to be wearing body armor. But for now, I just want you to wear your helmet. $1,000 to $2,000, your largest deductible in your savings account. So that is money marching order number two. I want you to put this in a separate savings account. Again, this needs to be liquid and it needs to be accessible. In the event you have something happen and you need to get to the money, you need to get to the money as quickly as possible. Again, if this is your first time tuning in, go back and listen to the other podcasts. Number one's pretty short. Number two's a little longer. And they're, you know, below 30 minutes. So you could probably blow through these in a couple days on your drive to and from work. But they're going to be slightly cumulative, right? So the first probably 10 or 12 podcasts are going to be cumulative. So go back and at least listen to one and two so you know what the plan is and then go from there. Money marching order number one, again, was stop and get your head count. Money marching order number two is helmet emergency fund. And on the next episode, we'll dive into money marching order number three, which is debt payoff and BRS match. Again, my goal with this podcast is not to get sponsors. It's not to fill up my time with ads. It is to simply inform and help military personnel with finances, to have somewhere to turn to someone who's served and knows what they're talking about, right? So if you're listening to this podcast right now, go ahead and share it with a military peer, a military friend. Again, my goal with this podcast is to simply inform. You're not going to hear a bunch of ads. You're not going to hear a bunch of sponsors on this podcast as it grows. So all I ask is that you subscribe, you like it, and you share it. Sharing is caring, right? So I need to reach the military community. I need to reach them. And the only way I can do that is if you share. So go ahead and share this. Give it a listen. Give it a subscribe. There's more to come, I promise. And again, until next time, this is Tim with Leading with Sense.